I'm Lee Hatcher with the Human Condition podcast. Our world is so often anxious. 3 out of 5 people have anxiety. It's physical, emotional, and mental overload. Debilitating, overwhelming. But with work, it can be treated very well. Kate Elton has bravely decided to share her story. She's a designer and a client of the Resilience Centre, and the author of a really helpful book, The Little Book for Big Worries. So, where did Kate's anxiety begin, and what's it meant for her?
Anxiety is something that I have had for a very long time, actually as long as I can remember. And I remember having what I now know to be panic attacks, probably as young as maybe 4 or 5 years old. It was something that has been really debilitating in my life, all through primary school, high school, university. I actually had quite bad homesickness all through primary school and high school, and rarely stayed at friends' houses almost ever. I remember being incredibly anxious in year 3 about going to year 5 camp, which was 2 years away. So panic attacks, again, is something that, yes, I have faced along with this, that has been a big part of the anxiety. And probably when I was in university were really regular. Even final year of university, I'd say I went through periods of having panic attacks every day. But really just having anxiety as an underlying feeling for most of my life, really up to a couple of years ago, and just a huge part of my life.
Can you describe what an anxiety attack feels like? Put it in words, Kate.
It is really hard to put in words, and the thing, and I guess everyone's anxiety is really different, and a panic attack is different for everyone. But I think the best way that I've actually worked out to describe it to people, what it feels like for me, is if you were to imagine that all the people closest to you that you really loved and cared about were dying, and there was just absolutely nothing that you could do to save them. Wow. And that kind of intense emotion is what it feels like, and just so alone and helpless. And then comes all the physical symptoms, so things like sweaty palms, dry mouth, hot flushing, nausea, vomiting when it's really bad, and just totally debilitating. So when I'm having a panic attack, I really struggle to have a conversation with anyone about anything. And the other thing is that the effects of a panic attack, I feel, last days. They just totally knock me around. My body, my mental state, I find it really hard to have a rational, logical conversation with anyone for a couple of days afterwards. I'm exhausted. I lose a lot of weight when I have panic attacks and go through really anxious periods. And it really was just such a debilitating thing in my life. And I kind of look back now and think, how did I get through a degree and school and have a long-term relationship and stuff?
I'm wondering the same thing. Are there triggers, are there circumstances which provoke a panic attack?
Yes and no. I find that I know myself quite well now. So I do sort of know when a situation comes up that might make me feel really anxious or have a panic attack. I think control is a big thing. So if I feel like I'm not going to be in control of a situation, that is a bit of a trigger. I think also, so with my homesickness, I have one of my really big things, I guess, that I've been anxious about through my life is going away and being away from family and friends and things like that. So things like that are big triggers. Stressful periods is another big trigger. And really even just when I'm run down, tired, I'm definitely more susceptible.
This may be a confronting question to ask, but how bad did it get, Kate?
I think probably in my final year of university. So I did a design degree, which had a major project, which is a really big thing to sort of go through with a lot of stress attached. And in the same year, my long-term boyfriend and I at the time broke up. And so that period was really pretty bad. I'm not a big person, but I lost about 8 to 10 kilos in a couple of months from just stress and anxiety and definitely having panic attacks sort of every day. I think the other thing is just with panic attacks and anxiety in general, it's just this underlying feeling of dread and just no hope at all for anything in the future.
You're scared.
Yeah, just this incredible, powerful fear that just was so debilitating and constant. And a lot of the time, I couldn't even tell you what I was anxious about. I think that's the other thing, is that anxiety, not only is it different for everyone, but it's different within each person, I think, where sometimes it would be, I would be anxious about a specific thing, a specific event, but often it would just be about nothing. And I just felt this fear and nauseous, and I couldn't eat, just all the time, just anxious all the time.
What about people around you? I'm tempted to say, did they understand? I bet they didn't. But did they accept you? Did they accept the reality of this, though they couldn't understand?
In reality, they probably did. But I think to me, it felt like they didn't. I do think that unless you've gone through panic attacks, it is really hard to understand them in that sense. But I think, you know, my friends and family were really accepting of it. But I don't know if I felt like that, not for anything they did, but because the anxiety made me just feel like I was a weak person. And so I was just telling myself, you know, that's the thing. Along with the anxiety, there's bouts of depression on and off, and telling myself how pathetic I am. How weak are you? You can't do that. You can't even go for a sleepover at a friend's house and you're 18. What's wrong with you? You know, it's this constant just bashing of myself mentally that, yeah, goes along with that.
You're listening to the Human Condition podcast. I'm in conversation with Kate Elton on anxiety. Now to a change of gear and some of the significant moments in Kate's journey of learning to manage her anxiety.
Well, I think it's funny to say this because to me it doesn't seem like, it seems like such a normal, everyday part of my life now, but really, seeing a psychologist, which I've now seen my current psychologist for coming up to 10 years, has ultimately been the biggest help. It's just been huge. You know, I learned so many things through that, and I've come to know now how strong a move that is to see a psychologist as opposed to being weak.
That would have been a big move.
It was,
yeah. What brought you to it?
I think I was just sick of feeling like I wasn't coping. But the other funny thing is that I do remember when I started seeing her, I remember that it was about a specific situation at the time. And it wasn't actually until I'd been seeing her for a few years. Well, she probably noticed that I had really bad anxiety, but I didn't really come to that realization for a little while with her. Yeah, so that is huge. But it's, yeah, it doesn't feel huge, but when I reflect, that definitely was
the biggest. It's a big turning point, yes.
Yeah. I think the other thing that I definitely would have to mention is when I was 21 and after this final year of uni, when sort of all this stuff happened, I actually went on board a trip on the Young Endeavour. So for anyone listening that doesn't know what that is, it's essentially a tall ship that is owned by the Australian government, run by the Navy, and they take youth between the ages of 16 to 24 on trips to sort of like youth development trips, I guess, where you learn how to sail the ship, but you're really challenged and learn a bunch of different things about yourself and about other people. And also while you're on there, there's no mobile phones, no internet, no television.
Freedom.
Yeah. No alcohol, no makeup, no nothing. Wow. And you don't know anyone that's on there. It goes, each trip is about 10 or 11 days. So you can imagine that even though I was 21, I'm not super young, but, you know, someone that's had severe homesickness type related anxiety.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, it was huge, yeah. For me to go on that. And funnily enough, I chose to go on it. So it sort of is bizarre that that's something. I think I've always been a person like that where, yeah, I don't like to feel beaten by things. So even though that is a really terrifying situation for me, I was really determined to be able to do it and come out the other end. And it is, to this day, the best thing I've ever done.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I think all my friends and family sort of said when I came back that I was just like a different person. And the other thing is that I think one thing that really cemented for me in that trip was this realization that I had about choice. And I sort of realized that I just have a choice every day, every minute, in how I'm going to live my life. And so, you know, there were really challenging situations on that boat. seasickness is something that comes along with sailing, yeah. And someone that sort of vomiting is a symptom of a panic attack made me develop a fear of vomiting. And so being on a boat, not only with all these people that I didn't know, but then getting really seasick.
I'd take my sailor's hat off to you.
Yeah, well, you can imagine there was a lot of anxious, challenging situations on that boat. But I just remember being in those situations and sort of looking at myself in the mirror going, okay, I can choose. I just have a choice. It's that simple. I can choose to give in to this anxiety. I can choose to crawl up in a ball, cry, not get out of bed, or I can actually just choose to deal with it and choose to enjoy this trip and to get out of it what I want to get out of it. And that's the biggest thing that I think I learned on that trip, was that this really empowering feeling of, I just have a choice.
Don't give up.
Yeah. And you just have a choice. Every minute you have a choice in what you're going to do next. And anxiety and feeling anxious is quite normal and quite common, and that doesn't really go away. It's then what you do next, whether you choose to give into it or not.
What else would you say you've learnt through therapy?
Well, I've learnt so many things. It's been a long time.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is a long list, but I think learning to focus on the hope, so and what I want. So you can imagine why that's helpful. You know, if I say Sydney Opera House right now, I'm sure that an image of the Sydney Opera House has just popped up in your mind.
Yes.
Because what you think about and what you say, your mind focuses on. And so if you're focusing on the things that you're anxious about and the bad things that are happening, that is what you're going to bring to you. So focusing on the hope is really just logical. So for example, with the Young Endeavour, you know, I was terrified of going on that, and I was really anxious leading up to that. But I just chose to focus on what I wanted out of it. So I've thought about what kind of person do I want to be when I get off this boat? I want to be independent. I want to be confident. I want my anxiety to be gone. You know,
yes.
I want new friends. And focusing on that really just makes it happen. So another thing that therapy has been really useful for, though, is just being really getting in touch with myself and understanding my thoughts and emotions. So, you know, really just knowing who I am, what I like, what I don't like, what my body feels like in certain situations, and just really tuning in and self-reflecting all the time. So when I feel anxious now, the first thing I do is take a step back and think, okay, what's going on? What am I anxious about? Let's sort of investigate here.
Hmm.
I think I actually sort of developed a little bit of a toolbox of strategies, I think, and things that I use in different anxious situations, which is where my little book came about.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Tell us about the little book for big worries.
Yeah, that was a really big thing for me, where I got to a point with my anxiety where I just felt like it wasn't a debilitating issue for me anymore. Sure, I still got it, but I felt like I was really good at managing it and dealing with it. And I had all these strategies at my fingertips and tools that I was using to help me. And I just sort of thought, this could help other people. And it feels almost selfish to keep this to myself. So I, wrote this little book for big worries, which I wrote in about a day because I was so excited about it. And it's pocket size, so it fits in your bag and it's useful to carry with you. And it's just really got a bunch of different strategies and tools for dealing with anxiety in different situations, because I think that's the thing with anxiety, is that not only is every person's anxiety unique to them, but then even each person gets different types of anxiety in different situations, I think, and about different things.
I'd officially describe it as a little cracker. And it's available at the Resilience Centre. Just briefly, as we start to wrap up, where would you say you are now, Kate, with the anxiety in your life?
I definitely still get anxious, but it's a really different type of anxiety, and it's far more occasional than it was before. Actually, lately when I get anxious, I think that's what made me realise how bad it was before, because now when I get anxious, I almost freak out a little bit and go, oh, what is this, like, what is this feeling? This is not normal.
Mm.
And I realise, wow, I actually just used to feel like that all the time. But something that I wanted to mention that has really helped me so much in the last year or so is actually just learning how to dig really deep into what is actually making me anxious. So people had always told me, including my psychologist, you need to accept the anxiety. And I didn't really get that until now, where the key for me is to actually work out what it actually is that I'm anxious about. So an example of that is lately I've gone through a really stressful, challenging couple of months where I've been working two jobs and studying and juggling a bunch of other different things, and it's been really tough. And I've had a bit of anxiety along with it. So for example, I might sit down and go, okay, what is it that I'm feeling anxious about? And say to myself, okay, I'm anxious that I'm not going to be able to get through the next few months. I don't know how I'm going to cope. And then I tune into my body and I feel that the knot in my stomach actually gets a bit tighter. And I think, okay, that's not it. No. That's not what I'm anxious about. And I sit with it a bit longer and then I think, okay, I'm actually anxious that in the next couple of months, I'm worried that I am going to have a panic attack or maybe multiple or breakdowns, and that I'm going to be a burden on the people around me, like my boyfriend and my family and my friends, and that they're just going to think I'm a hassle and that I'm weak and pathetic. And the knot in my stomach actually loosens when I say that, because wow. That's what it
You've
is.
You've identified it.
Yeah. And as irrational as that is, and it's funny because I can see how irrational that is, and I know that, but the fact is that that's the truth of what it is that I'm feeling.
Yes.
And getting to the bottom of that totally just releases the feeling of anxiety. And it sounds counterintuitive, but I promise it just works. I can't explain it, but yeah.
But that's an amazing insight, actually, that can only come A, from therapy, but also really applying yourself and, as you say, digging deep, using that term.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is just really getting to know yourself and know who you are and be self-compassionate and say, it's okay, I'm anxious. And, you know, there's no point, and it doesn't help to, when you're anxious, go, I'm not anxious, it's fine, you know, and that's not what making a choice is about either. Oh, I'm just going to ignore the anxiety. It's not about that. It's about going, no, the anxiety is there and I'm not going to be scared of it. I'm just going to dig down and work out what it is and I'm going to face it head on.
Do you tell people you're seeing a psychologist?
Yes, that's another big thing that I never really had shame in seeing a psychologist, but it certainly wasn't something that I openly admitted to people. So I guess maybe I did have shame. But lately, in particular, I've started to just tell everyone. not unless it's appropriate, you know, and comes up in the conversation. But, yeah, I make a point, actually, if it's relevant in a conversation, to mention it, because I'm just sick of the stigma. I'm sick of people feeling like it's weak to see someone when actually it's the total opposite.
Too right.
So when you think about the people that you know that are successful and who you consider to be successful and strong, all those people have a really strong support network around them, and they all know where to get help and when they need it, what to ask for, who to go to. And so I think it's actually a really strong thing to see a psychologist, and I'd recommend it to anyone.
Tell me finally, Kate, why have you decided in this context, it's a big call to do this kind of interview, why have you decided to tell your story?
I want other people to feel like they are not alone. I know how alone anxiety makes you feel, and really it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I actually realized that other people feel like this too, as bad as me or even worse. And I just want people to know that firstly, they're not alone, and secondly, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, 100%. It might not feel like it, and I totally know what that feels, having no hope, but there is.
Takes work.
It does take work. Definitely takes work, and that's the thing about a choice, is that you have to choose to commit to that. But once you make that choice, it is so doable and it's so possible, and I just want other people to know that. And I also hope that other people can sort of benefit from hearing my story and hearing the strategies and things that work for me, and that maybe that will help them too.
I'm so glad you've been up for this conversation. I'm sure it has and will help countless numbers of people on this podcast. Kate Elton, thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Lee.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. If you'd like to get a hold of Kate's little book for big worries, search for it on the Resilience Centre website, www.theresiliencecentre.com.au.